thought many times this week about this moment when I'm going to be standing here thinking about my friend Michael. You know, as you've heard this morning, even if you didn't know Michael, we had some devastating news this week. Life-changing news. You know, each of us handles grief and sadness differently. But if you're like me, I'd like to just be honest with you this morning. The thought that I keep having over and over again is why? I asked this question since Wednesday morning when I first heard from Sharon. Multiple times each day, every day this week, I'm asking the question, why? Let's see if I can get my slides to cooperate here. It is on. There we go. I thought, why, God, would you allow this to happen to someone like Michael? He loved you. He loved his wife. He was an amazing dad. He loved his parents, his siblings. He was always helping somebody, usually fixing their car. I thought, why, God, is Rachel a widow? Why do Landon and Colette have to go to bed and wonder where Daddy is? You have your own thoughts to add to that, depending on your relationship with Michael. Mitch, Sharon, Rochelle and Joe, Daniel, Hannah, our hearts are with all of you. The question is the same, why? You may be here this morning and you don't know this person that I'm talking about, and that's okay, because the truth is, in life, every one of us has experienced hurt, grief, pain, sadness. And many times the only thing that we can think to say is why. It's tempting, depending on your beliefs, to think, I shouldn't ask the question why. I should just trust God. But you know, this morning I want to share with you, I believe it's okay to ask why. It's okay to come to God with our tears, with our anguish, with our hearts broken, and say why. David did this many times in the Psalms. You don't need to turn to these references, but I just want to share some of them with you. Psalm 10:1, it says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself? Psalm 42, why have you forgotten me? Psalm 43, why have you rejected me? Why do I continue in mourning? Psalm 44, why are you asleep, Lord? Psalm 44, why do you hide your face? Psalm 74, why have you rejected us? Why do you withdraw your hand? Psalm 88, why do you hide your face from me? So in Scripture, we have examples of David, a man after God's own heart, in the midst of grief and struggle, asking God, why? Even though we ask why, even if it's okay to ask why, the fact is we don't have an answer that we can understand all the time, do we? And this is one of those situations for me. I don't have an answer that I can understand. But you know, there is encouragement in Scripture. I keep coming back to this verse in Psalms. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Those words, brokenhearted, crushed in spirit, those are good descriptors of my feelings this morning, the place that my heart is in. Maybe that's true for some of you. Maybe that relates to this situation with Michael. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's something else in your life that you are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. You know, because I believe this verse is true, because I believe that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, I know that the character of God is grieving also when we're suffering, right? And I can't answer the question why in a way that's satisfying, but I can remind myself, what do I know about God that's true? And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to remind myself, I want to share with you things that we know about God that are true. The first thing I want to say is very simply, God is love. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn to 1 John chapter 4? I have three passages here. I'm going to read them with minimal comment to remind us, affirm for us, that God is love. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God," and here's a key word, pay attention, "not because of us, not because of who we are, what we've done, or even our love for him, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God's love is clear through the sending of his Son. Turn also to Romans chapter 5, please, Romans 5. We actually read a portion of this chapter earlier this morning. Romans 5, starting in verse 6. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die." And here's that key word again, "but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Turn once more to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Here's that word again. This was consistent in each passage I've read. "But God, having nothing to do with us, even while we're in sin, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved." I think it's really natural as humans to wonder in tragedy, in sadness, how can a God whose love let such a terrible thing happen, right? That's how I'm feeling. Maybe you're feeling that way. But the truth is, sin is in the way of life here on earth, isn't it? At the core of life, sin is in the way. This doesn't mean that every suffering is a punishment for sin. It means that sin's existence is the result of is the cause of sadness. We know from Scripture that God created a perfect world. Everything in it was good. But it's not that way anymore, is it? Suffering is real. Death is real. But that isn't God's fault. God gave Adam and Eve one very specific direction about the fruit they could not eat, and they made a willful decision to disobey that. And we know from Romans 5 that because one man sinned, sin is in the world, and each of us sin. So I know that God is love, and while I don't understand what's happening, I understand that it's not God's fault. He's actually showing love by making a way to correct that sin problem by sending his son. And that was the purpose behind those passages that we read. Having nothing to do with us, while we're undeserving, God sent his son Jesus, who gave his life to die for you and for me. If you're here this morning and that is new information for you, you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, I want to just take a moment and share that God loves you. The message in Scripture is very simple. Humans are sinful. God is holy. The two can't come together. And Jesus is the bridge. He gave his life to pay the price for our sin. And we're told in the book of Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's that simple. God is love. God loved Michael Giese. God loves Rachel Giese. Put your own name in there. Any member of Michael's family. God loves you. God is love. The second thing I want to share with you is that God is eternal. These passages are shorter, so you can listen or turn as your choice. I'm going to start reading in Psalm 90. We read a part of this psalm this morning too, but I'm going to read the beginning. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. This was written by Moses, and it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We also read Revelation 22:13 this morning, where it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And 2 Peter 3:8 says, don't let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. I don't know about you, but as a human, I cannot fully understand God's view of time and his perspective. We read he's from everlasting to everlasting. Everything that ever happened, everything that ever will happen, everything that's happening now, God sees and God knows. Grace and I were talking with friends the other evening, and they used the example of a parade, right? It's a little bit simple, but think about standing and watching a parade. You saw what went by. You're seeing something now. You may or may not remember what you already saw. You have no idea what's coming. But if somebody was up in an airplane, they would see the whole thing, and they would know exactly what's coming, how it's going to work out, what the problems might be, and that is exactly God's perspective on our lives and the world. So while we can't fully understand what it means to be eternal, to have that creator-level knowledge of the world, we do know that God is eternal. And because of that, we can trust his perspective. His perspective is all knowing. And so even though it's hard to understand here, I'm holding on to this truth. God is eternal. Turn, if you will, to Job chapter 42. Another truth that we know about God is sovereign. You know, the story of Job is arguably one of the most impactful stories in Scripture of human suffering. Job lost his family, his wealth, his health, the support of his wife. He was criticized by his friends. But you know, Job is also a place in Scripture where we see the sovereignty of God clearly evident. God is the ultimate power and authority. And what a comfort that is when we are facing struggles and trials. But you know, after all that he endured, Job in chapter 42 acknowledges that God is sovereign. He doesn't use that word, but that's the thought here. Just read with me starting in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Think about what an amazing statement that is. God can do all things. No purpose of his can be thwarted. Coming from a man who experienced ultimate suffering here on earth. Turn to Proverbs 16, please. One of my favorite personal verses in life. Proverbs 16. I want to read verse 9. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Because God is sovereign, he knows our steps. He knows the steps that our lives will take. And we can take comfort in that. God is sovereign. The fourth thing I want to remind you of this morning, God is good. Turn, if you would, to Romans 8 and just keep your finger there. All throughout Psalms, in the midst of suffering, the authors are affirming God's goodness. Let me just share a couple of these verses with you. Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all. His mercies are over all his works." Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." We see all throughout Scripture that God is good. But I want to read together with minimal comment from Romans 8. This is one of those passages in Scripture that is simply awesome, right? As you follow it through and think about what it's saying to you. But I think it does a really nice job of pulling together how God's goodness relates to who he is, relates to what Christ has done, and relates to what that means for us. So let's read together from Romans 8, starting in verse 28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew." Remember, God is eternal. "He also predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. These whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say?" And give special attention to this verse. "If God is for us, who is against us?" If God is for us, who is against us? "He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Jump over to verse 35, if you would. "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered,' but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Yeah. If God is for us, who is against us? Because God is good, we can trust that He is for us. Psalm 9 says, you don't need to turn there, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So God is love. God is eternal. God is sovereign. God is good. And then I want to make one more point. There is hope. And we've talked about this morning also already in some of the scriptures that were read. I mentioned that God is love, right? And His love is what drove Him to offer His Son as payment for our sins. But it doesn't stop there, does it? God's plan of salvation goes far beyond this world. I'm thankful for His forgiveness. I'm thankful that I can have a relationship with Him here on earth. But it's so much better than that, because we have eternity to look forward to, an eternity that's perfect. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, please? And then you can also put your finger in Revelation 21. So 1 Thessalonians 4, and then Revelation 21. First Thessalonians 4:13 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And then Revelation 21, just a description of what we have to look forward to. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There is no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They shall be His people. God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Where we are now, it's hard to imagine no pain, no crying, no death. And yet that's the promise that we have to look forward to. There is hope. Grace and I were talking with friends the other evening, praying together, and the comment was made, you know, life here on earth is not ever going to be perfect. It can't be perfect. And we've already talked about the reality of sin. But in the same breath, the comment was made, heaven is going to be really great. Isn't heaven going to be really great? We just read about that from Revelation. I'm going to just read one more reference here, Romans 15, 13. One verse, you don't have to turn. There is hope. This says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we know Christ as Savior, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We don't have to fabricate this hope. We don't have to find it. The Holy Spirit can enable it within us because of these truths. So we've touched on five things this morning. You might be thinking, yeah, what does all this mean? I still have the question, why? I know I still have the question, why? We're still feeling pain. But as we experience pain or suffering, isn't it encouragement to know that God is love? God is eternal. God is sovereign. God is good. And there is hope. There is hope. We have about 15 minutes left in our time this morning, and for me, when my heart is in pain, music is the answer. And I'm going to ask you just to spend some time worshiping with me. I'll transition to the piano. We'll put some lyrics on the screen here so you can sing along. If you don't want to sing and you want to listen, that's okay. I'm sure I'm going to cry through some of the words that I try to sing. But I believe that pursuing the Lord in worship in light of these truths is the right thing to do at this moment. All right, let's test this mic out. Maybe just a little more volume, guys. Yeah, that's great. The words will be in front of you. Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you,
I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go. You've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. 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 I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you. when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is my soul. Let's do the chorus once more. It is well. There is strength within the sorrow. There's beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fears. You are working in our waiting, sanctifying us. And beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You are wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassionate and kind. You surround and you uphold me, and your promises are my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand. What comes apart from His command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, yes, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death. Unto the grave, what shall we sing? Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death. Let's do the chorus once more. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess. Christ, our hope in life and death. Appreciate you singing along with me this morning. Appreciate you being here. Let's just close in prayer. Father, this morning we're here to just open our hearts to You. Father, we're asking why. We're brokenhearted. And yet we just want to acknowledge this morning that You are love. You're eternal. You're sovereign. You're good. and we know that there is hope. Father, I pray especially for Rachel, for Mitch, for Sharon, for Landon, for Colette, for Daniel and Hannah, for Rochelle and Joe, their families. Father, other family members and friends, we just miss Michael. And yet we know you can offer hope through your Holy Spirit. Father, we just take hold of that this morning, thanking you that we can. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.